Christmas time. They say it's the most wonderful time of the year. But what do we think about mostly at Christmas time? Well, we're going to go through a few things here, and I want to put in your mind, you know, what you already see on the board, on the wall. Who is the baby in the manger? I believe if we answer that question, that not only at Christmas time, but our whole life would be better. Our whole life would be elevated in some way, because we understand and we know who the baby really is. Because at Christmas time, most people think of a time of toys. Yeah, to be honest, yeah, most people do. Most people think of handing out presents. And most of the time, after the end of all the long shopping spree and trying to find what we might consider the right present or the right gift for somebody, then guess what? We're all spent, aren't we? We're spent in two different ways. Okay? But if we really think about, you know, Christmas time as who is the baby in the manger, okay? We can think about the birth of Christ more so than the toys and than the gifts. And you know, I told Lisa, I said, you know, we was young and everything, and back in the day, and kids was young and they wanted everything for Christmas. And boy, we used to spin out to try our best to get them what they wanted. Okay? As years went by, it began to change. You're not getting everything you wanted. Well, that's one thing to change. And the next thing to change is their understanding, us putting it into them, their understanding of Christmas. That it's not all about going about wasting, excuse me, may not be a waste, but yes, it is a waste. All the time in seeking out the present, that right present. And have you ever experienced this? I experienced this before. You know, I went and I searched and I thought I had the right gift. And I gave it to the person, and the person opened up the gift and was like, ugh. How does that make you feel? Man, I wasted my time. Or how about those that, when you had kids and kids were little and all that stuff, you went and you wasted, and you, excuse me, I keep saying that word, but you went and you shot hard to find something for your kids. And then come to find out that, you know, as soon as they open it up, they're all happy and everything. But about an hour later, they come and say, Daddy, can you put this back together again? We all haven't experienced those things, right? But what we need to really look at is who is really the baby in the manger. Let's look at Luke. The second chapter in verse 7. It says, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Okay? What this verse is basically saying is that God visited us, the world, in the person, hear this now, of a helpless baby, okay? in that, but he visited us in poverty. That's not the God that the Jews was looking for. That's not the God that people want to see. They want to see a God in full bore, full bloom, and full righteousness, and full all this stuff. But he came for a reason. He came in poverty to save those that were in poverty. He came to show that he was not the God, that spectacular God that everybody thought was coming, that conquering king in their way of conquering. But he came as a helpless baby and in poverty. Hear this now, Darby. He's a very well-known writer, expressed it this way. He, God, Jesus, began in a manger and ended on the cross. And along the way, had not where to lay his head. Who is the baby in the manger? There are seven wonderful titles of our Lord Jesus Christ in the opening of the Gospel of John. Turn to John, the Gospel of John. I'm not going to be up here long today. But as y'all know, I say that all the time. I'm trying to stick to my word today. There are seven wonderful titles of our Lord Jesus Christ in the opening of the Gospel of John. Hear this now. In verses 1 through 4, 1 through 5, he reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made." Do you hear that? "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Seven wonderful titles here. If we stick in this, we understand by verse 1 that he is called what? The Word. He is called the Word. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So in the manger, it was God. It was the Word of God, the Logos of God, the Word of God. Verse 14, in that same, we're going to stick with this first chapter. It says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Okay? So what we have is the Word becoming flesh in the manger. Okay? Number 2 says he is called the life. Okay? So if we look at verses 4 and 5 in that same chapter, it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Verse 5 says, "And the light," so he was called, verse what? Life and light. "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." So Jesus came as the life that God wants to give us. It originated with him. He gave us our physical life. But when we accept him as our personal savior, guess what? He gives us our spiritual life. He gives us our spiritual life. And so in him is life. And I don't know about you, but you know, I wouldn't have no life if it wasn't for him. I'm not just talking about living in this body. I'm talking about a life that is meaningful, a life that is full of purpose, a life that is good and precious in the sight of God. I wouldn't have no life. Because I haven't always been the perfect guy that I am now. I needed to laugh like that. And he is the light. See, without the light of Christ shining in my life or in your life, guess what? We wouldn't be here now. We wouldn't be in these seats now. Ain't no telling where I would be. But because his light shined in the darkness of my heart, now I am who he wants me to be. But it says there that the darkness did not comprehend it, or that the writers were saying this morning, those that are in darkness, there is a choice that you have to make, and you have to hear and see that it is the light of Christ that is coming into your life. It is the life of Christ that he wants to give you. It is a new life. It is a light that you have never seen before. But you have to take it by faith and understand that it is the light of Christ. Number 3 says, he is called the Lamb of God. Go to verse 29. Here it is, John the Baptist is baptizing in the Jordan, and here comes Jesus, walk past, and what does he say? He says what? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. How do we know that? How did John know that? Well, first of all, John was his cousin. Okay? And the Holy Spirit told him. And the Holy Spirit showed him who Jesus was. Not just my cousin over there, you know, that we play football with. But this is the Son of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's the Lamb of God. The sacrificial lamb. So even at this point in time, what John was pointing to was his what? Crucifixion. He was pointing to his cross. He was pointing to his fulfilling the law, the atonement. He was pointing to all of that, that he is the lamb. He's the one that was prophesied about. He is the one that is going to take away the sin of the world. Verse 36 says, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. In other words, the sacrifice that was prepared for us by, from the beginning or the foundation of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God. Who's in the manger? Well, he is called the Son of God. Verse 34. He is called the Son of God. He says, and I seen and testify that this is the Son of God. That he is the Son of God. Who's the baby in the manger? Verse 49 says, a little background, Jesus was walking with Andrew and some of the other disciples while he was choosing his disciples. And Philip went and saw Andrew, Nathaniel, under the tree and told him, hey, we found the Christ. Verse 49 says, Nathaniel answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. you are the king of Israel. How did Nathanael come up with that? Because Jesus told him that, Nathanael, when Philip saw you under the tree, I saw you first. And when he said that to him, he realized that, wow, this man knew I was there. He knew what I was doing. This man has to be the Son of God. Number five, it says, he is called the Christ. In other words, he is the Messiah. Okay? Verse 41. This is Andrew. See, and we're going to be studying on this too, because basically Andrew was really the first evangelist. Why? Because hear this now. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. See, Andrew went, when he knew who Jesus was, Andrew wanted to tell everybody that he saw, but he first did what? Went to his brother. I know somebody who needs him right now. So I'm going to go to my brother Simon, Peter. I'm going to tell him who we found. And we found the Messiah. Have you found him? Number six, he is called the King of Israel. Back in verse 49, Nathanael says, you are the King of Israel. He says, you are the King of Israel. And then finally, number seven, he is the Son of Man. He is the Son of Man. Who is the baby in the manger? As I mentioned earlier, I mentioned that if we really, really get this in our hearts and our minds, you know, because most Christians, believe it or not, have this whole total different idea of who the baby in the manger really is. Why? Because they put so much emphasis on, ooh, the cute little baby and all this kind of stuff. But what we really need to see and give him the honor that is due to him by understanding who he really is. Well, Jesus asked his disciples a similar question. He was at Caesarea Philippi. After he had just got done ministering to the crowd. And he pulled his disciples aside and he asked the question. He said, who do men say that I am? But not only did he ask that question, he came with a second question. Because it doesn't matter really what anybody else think. Okay? But the second question is the most important question that we can ever ask ourselves. You know, we can ever ask ourselves. And that question is, who do you say I am? Jesus is asking his disciples, the first question, they said, some say you are Elijah, some say that you are John the Baptist come back, some say this, and blah, blah, Jeremiah the prophet, but he said, that's fine, that's good, what other people are saying, but I can't be all I can be to you until you know, or until you can say who I am. I call him the first and the last. I call him the Alpha and the Omega. He's my Lord, my Savior, my conquering King. He is the bread of life. He's the Lion of Judah, the Lamb of God, the Lord of Lords, and the King of Kings. He is the Christ, the Son, as Peter said, of the living God. The Redeemer of my soul. Who do you say he is? He's my soon and coming King. And my King will reign forever and ever. is the baby in the manger? Well, that question, that simple question will help you through the rest of this year and the rest of your life. If you honestly answer that, who do you say the baby in the manger is? Are we going to listen to what the world is saying? Because the world is not acknowledging him. No, the world is not. You know, people think and say all these crazy stuff about who they think Jesus is. So it don't matter. It matters to the point that we want them to be saved. But if we listen to them, we're going to be like them and not give him the honor and the glory that is due to him. And when we don't give him honor and glory, he says that I am a jealous God. That's the baby in the manger talking. I am a jealous God. Thou shalt have none other besides me. That's my little language put in there. Who is the baby? He is Jesus the Christ. He is Emmanuel. Guess what? He's God with us. And so, as we go through and hit the first of the year and begin to think about how our year is going to be, I believe that our year can be much better. I believe your year can be much better if we recognize and understand that it is God with us. God wrapped himself in human form, in human flesh, and came down and just to be with us, just to know us, just to develop a relationship with us, and to sustain that relationship with us through the death of his cross on the cross, that we might have eternal life through him. He is God with us. So if God is with us, the Bible says, then he's more than the world against us. So as we go through, coming up to the end of this year, thinking over until the next year, use Christmas as a time to catapult yourself into the wisdom and knowledge of who the baby in the manger is, and begin to walk in that. And I guarantee you, life will get better. Your walk with him will get stronger and better. Because you know who he is. Father God, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for the strength to be able to preach thy word. We pray, oh God, that as we leave this place today, that, Lord, you begin anew in us to receive you for who you are and to serve you without any hesitation. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. Come on.